This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Wednesday, it's Hump Day. You have done it. The week is almost over. Well, kind of. It's like more than halfway over. I guess that's the essence of Hump Day. And we have some things we must discuss. We have to discuss the negative momentum of the Pete Hegseth nomination and who is responsible for it. There is someone I blame, and we are going to have a hard discussion about that in just a couple moments. Kash Patel was allegedly hacked by the Iranians. I'll tell you why I don't believe that and who I believe actually did it. The UnitedHealthcare CEO was assassinated on the streets of New York City this morning, and that's kind of a big deal. What's going on with Eric Adams sounding like a Republican? Coffee's getting expensive. The system is already trying to protect those saintly illegals from being deported. All that, emails, amazing voicemails. Some people are mad. Some people are happy. It's great. All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I'm going to begin here. Tell you a little story about me. This is going to come back to Lindsey Graham. I'll just go ahead and give away the game. It's going to come back to Lindsey Graham, Pete Hegseth, and what's currently happening in the Senate. But here's a little story about me. You remember the story of me signing up to go to the Marines, right? In case you don't, or maybe you're just now joining us. I had finished high school. I did what a lot of kids do. I went to college. You know, everyone has to go to college. That's that stupid thing that people still say to themselves and their children. And so I went to college. Very clearly, I was not mature enough to handle college. I had a great time, but got a 0.0 grade point average my first semester. I did a little better my second semester, but at the end of it, I knew I had some growing up to do. And so unbeknownst to my parents or anyone else, I walked right down to the Marine Corps recruiting office. It was in the local mall in Bozeman, Montana. It may still be. I don't know. I haven't been back. But I walked right into the recruiting office, signed up, and said, I'm going to be a Marine. I want to learn how to be more responsible, a better person, see if I'm tough enough, sign me up, join the Marines. They said, okay. But I was on what's called the delayed entry program, meaning you walk in, you sign up, but you don't leave right away. There was months and months. I think there was 6 months, but don't quote me on that. But I think there was 6 months or so before I left for actual boot camp. I'm signed up, 4 years, I'm going. Now, during this 6 months, the recruiter did his job. I had a wonderful recruiter. I don't have any complaints about mine. Granted, I was the easiest sale in the world, but he did his job and he gave me a very specific workout program I should begin to prepare myself for the rigors of Marine Corps boot camp. That didn't interest me at all. Now, the good news is I was an active kid, and as bad as I was at sports, basketball, baseball, you know, just playing tackle football with your friends in the backyard, I was active, but I didn't want to do some workout plan. No, I don't want to do this. No, I'm not doing that. I'm going to live it up for my last 6 months. And then I went off to Marine Corps boot camp, having lived it up to the max for the last 6 months. Put a nice little bow on my time as a civilian by attending a Metallica, Kid Rock, and Korn concert in Denver. Yeah. So really had me a good time. And then I got to boot camp. And for a few weeks, I suffered greatly. I suffered because I ignored the work, the non-sexy work that had to get done to prepare me for boot camp. It made boot camp worse for me for a little while. Again, I was active enough that I got through it okay and it was fine. But boy, I'll tell you what, it hurt for a little while. You want to have an uncomfortable conversation, you'll probably email and yell at me. Maybe you'll leave me a voicemail, which I don't give a crap about. That's fine. Let's have an uncomfortable conversation. Pete Hegseth right now is fighting for his political life on Capitol Hill. As you're listening to the sound of my voice, Trump's nominee to be Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, is knocking on every senator's door in the GOP, sitting them down, trying to convince them all these commie smears against them are lies, trying to get them to vote yes on his confirmation. And yesterday, we talked about it yesterday, somebody did something publicly that created negative momentum for Pete Hegseth, and I don't know that in the end he will be able to overcome it. I hope he will, and I think there's a chance at it. I'm not telling you Pete Hegseth's going down, but what Senator Lindsey Graham did yesterday was devastating. And here's what he did. I read the comments. I'm not even going to go back and read them verbatim. But Lindsey Graham publicly said, I'm kind of uncomfortable with some of these allegations. I don't know. I really need to, I guess I'll sit down and talk to him. But yeah, some of this stuff looks bad. Said that publicly. One, keep in mind, Lindsey Graham is a politician, a very seasoned politician. Lindsey Graham doesn't scratch his nose, wipe his butt, or sweep up the floor unless he does so intentionally. Lindsey Graham, when he speaks, understands the ripples it will cause. And Lindsey Graham saying that publicly was a purposeful thing. This is not a human being who speaks off the cuff, willy-nilly. He said that publicly. Pete Hegseth has negative momentum right now because Lindsey Graham is creating it publicly. He is helping the New York Times, helping all these evil people destroy Trump's nominee for Secretary of Defense. Okay, that's bad. I hate Lindsey Graham. You hate Lindsey Graham. I got it. We need to defeat Lindsey Graham in a primary. I got it. He's a member of the deep state. I got it. You got it. We understand all that. Here's my issue. Donald Trump has consistently and repeatedly given political cover to Lindsey Graham in his state of South Carolina. You see how Lindsey Graham repays him, of course. That traitorous piece of crap comes out and tries to torpedo Trump's Secretary of Defense nominee, not an ounce of loyalty or honor in him. But this is the danger of not doing the workout program for boot camp. This is the danger of not doing the little unsexy things as a political candidate to get yourself ready. Lindsey Graham constantly gets invited to Donald Trump's rallies where the people are there for Trump. They cheer for Trump. They want to be around Trump. And time after time after time after time, Lindsey Graham is booed mercilessly at these rallies.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome United States Senator Lindsey Graham.
The booing gets so bad, reporters have to report on it.
I think one of the most noteworthy things that we witnessed was the booing of Lindsey Graham. The crowd booed him when he arrived. They booed him when he left. And at no point did they really cheer for him. I think that was probably a pretty painful thing for Lindsey Graham. So
how does Lindsey Graham keep getting elected? Who keeps giving political cover to Lindsey Graham, the GOPer who appears to be torpedoing Trump's SecDef nominee? Who is this person protecting Lindsey Graham at every single turn? His name is Donald Trump.
I call up Lindsey Graham and he straightens it out so fast. And I'll tell you, No, remember, I love him. He's a good man. Come up here, Lindsey. Come up here, Lindsey.
This is not a rant to savage Donald Trump for saving Lindsey Graham's political career and protecting him. This is a lesson that I can learn, you can learn, Trump can learn, everyone can learn. The little things that aren't sexy are oftentimes the biggest things that matter in life.
when you're given a workout program before you go to boot camp, you don't spend your time swinging from the rafters in Denver at a concert. You go out, you put in the work, you do the runs, you do the pull-ups, you make sure you're ready for boot camp. When you want to be president of the United States of America, you cannot constantly endorse and support the people who are nice to you and who flatter you, but who will not support your agenda in the end. Lindsey Graham is a traitor. Donald Trump has saved him and protected him. And what Lindsey Graham did yesterday was potentially begin the negative tide that brings down Pete Hegseth. And if Pete Hegseth goes down with Lindsey Graham spearheading it, which seems like an appropriate way to describe Lindsey Graham, then the truth is Donald Trump is going to own some of the blame for that. This is why we have to get involved in the little things too, the unsexy things. They oftentimes matter a lot. We'll finish this up and move on to some other things. Before we do that, let's talk about rough greens. Let's talk about getting our pets, our cats, our dogs, the nutrition they need because they don't get it from dog food. Our dogs, every dog I've ever had, has died too early, and I never knew. We never knew. How do you know? I didn't know that we weren't giving them nutrition. We were giving them dog food, and we would always buy the best food we could afford. The special blend. I've heard that this blend is better. Forget your blend. It's all brown because it's dead. Though, yeah, there may have been shrimp in this one and beef in this one. They killed it all at the factory. We give our dogs empty calories, and our dogs die too early. Give your dog Rough Greens. All natural nutritional supplement. You sprinkle it on your dog's food. Your dog will live longer. Don't you want your dog around longer? Go get a free Jumpstart trial bag at 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Few little programming notes here. First, email us. We love your emails and voicemails. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You have the privilege of leaving us a voicemail as well. 877-377-4373. Josh Hammer is coming up about 10 minutes from now. There was a big Supreme Court hearing today about child tranny stuff. Child mutilation is essentially what it is. And we'll get into that with Josh, what he thinks the results are going to be. There's a lot to get into it with Josh. Next hour, Natalie Winters is going to join us and handicap Pete Hegseth's nomination. There's just so much to get to. But more important than all those things, the emails and the guests and whatnot, before we got back to politics, I wanted to tell you an important personal update. I'd like to try to keep you. I don't know why I tell you everything, but I'd like to tell you when big things happen in my life. Disastrous things, great things, and whatnot. It's been a challenging season, no doubt, for obvious reasons. But I got my new pen. Don't shake your head, Chris. I got a new pen, and it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. It is not only olive drab. Look, Chris, the reason maybe the reason you're shaking your head scornfully at my pen, maybe you can't see it because it blends in so well. See, it's like it's basically invisible now, but it's an olive drab pen. It's the perfect weight. You know, it's not too heavy, it's not too light. When I write, I feel like John Hancock. It just flows across. What, Chris? It just flows across the paper. And you hear that? You hear that? It clicks too. What, Chris? What? Hancock's signature was legible, but mine's not. Chris, Hancock's signature was distinctive. That's what mattered. It was distinctive. My signature is distinctive. Everybody who got a book that you can still purchase at jessekellybook.com, everybody who got a book autographed knows that's a distinctive signature that belongs to only me. You're jealous because your signature is not distinctive. It looks like everybody else's. But people can look at John Hancock and me and they say, wow, those guys really have the signature thing down pat. And now with this new pen, I think I may go home and sign autographs. Just, I don't have anyone specifically I'm going to sign autographs for, but I do have these business cards, and all they have on them is my name and my face. The back of the business card is just my face. I think tonight I'll go sign a bunch of those, because one of my favorite things is when I go to a conference or something like that, I hand them out to people who don't even ask. I just hand them an autograph just to give value for others. It is the season of giving, after all. So pretty excited about the pen. I'm going to try not to bring it up a lot. You know, I don't want to brag about nice things I have, but it's just, it's beautiful. Back to what we were saying. Lindsey Graham's trash has been trash, and I am starting to get concerned about Pete Hegseth getting through. And we really, really, really have to have massive reform in our military. It has to happen. If we don't get it, we're in deep trouble. And look, this is the mentality we need.
Wonderful process to go through and meet with senators and talk to them, especially members of the Senate Armed Services Committee, whose passion is the Defense Department, and our warfighters, to hear what they want to do to make sure that department is properly oriented for the threats of the world and make sure that we're putting the warfighters first. That's what Donald Trump asked me to do. Your job is to bring a warfighting ethos back to the Pentagon. Your job is to make sure that it's lethality, lethality, lethality. Everything else is gone. Everything else that distracts from that shouldn't be happening. That's the message I'm hearing from senators in that advise and consent process. And it's been a wonderful process.
And you and I have a role in this. You know, I want to give Trump credit for yanking that Chad Chronister, that Sheriff Chad Chronister, that loser in Florida who was arresting pastors during COVID. Trump put him up to be the DEA head, and then Trump just yanked it. The guy doesn't get his dream job. Why did Trump yank it? Why did that get pulled away? Because of you. Because public outcry now gets heard by people in power because of the power of social media, because people phone into their senator, email into their senator. We can cost bad guys their job, and we did with Chad Chronister. The exact same thing needs to happen with you and me when it comes to Pete Hegseth. It is critically important, not only for our military, that we get Pete in there. It's critically important that we do not allow the communists to once again use these vicious smear campaign tactics to stop anybody who threatens their deeply entrenched bureaucracy, because that's what all this is about. And once they get Pete, look, they already got Gates. It already worked on Gates. They didn't get the Senate approval. Gates had to back off. If they get Pete, whether or not they get Pete, they're going to move right on to the next one, Kash Patel. And I'm going to tell you what they're going to do to Kash. They're already beginning in about a half hour from now. We're going to go into that. If we allow them to keep taking scalps, they're going to keep taking scalps. And you have power here. Maybe you don't think you do. Jesse, I'm just a housewife. Jesse, I'm just a lawyer or an accountant. I'm just a kid. No. You have an email. You have social media, probably. Speak up and speak out and tell your senators and other senators who even aren't yours that you expect them to stand up to communist smear tactics. We must hold strong here, and you have a role to play. So dig in. Takes 2 minutes to send an email. A little bit longer if you're me, but that's because the buttons are small on my phone. Maybe I'll pen a letter. Chris, don't be jealous. And I have the energy to pen a letter because I take a male vitality stack from Chalk every single day. I feel like it makes me even more old school. I have a desire now to go hunt something with a musket. I want to pen letters. I feel like I'm going to go out west in a horse-drawn carriage. That's what having high testosterone will do for you, bringing back the American spirit. And you can do it with natural herbal supplements. Stop jamming needles in your arm. Start being in a good mood all the time, having good energy all the time, enjoying yourself with family more. CHOQ. Endless supplies of natural herbal supplements. Personally, I take a male vitality stack every day. I drink chocolate powder to start my day every day. That's my routine. Those are my subscriptions. Go get a female vitality stack. Go get armor. Go get whatever. And take advantage of the Christmas special. Massive discounts on subscriptions. CHOQ.com. You will feel good. The fog in your mind will lift. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. Josh Hammer, the Hebrew Hammer. Next.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. I can't tell you how much it makes me snicker every time that Josh Hammer uses that song by MC Hammer, and he even picks the specific part that it's Hammer this and Hammer that. Gosh, I'm insanely jealous. Joining me now, my friend, host of America on Trial, which I'm sure you're already listening to, Josh Hammer. Okay, Josh, I haven't touched on it at all yet. What happened today with the Supreme Court? So let's begin there before we get on to other things. There was a big hearing today. It was about a bunch of child tranny madness. The floor is yours, Hammer. Go ahead.
Jesse, first of all, my brother, not all of us can have the last name Hammer. Sometimes we have to just make the best we have with a generic last name like Kelly. So I'm sure that you're coping okay over there. And my condolences to you that you're not a Hammer. But in any event, there was a big argument today. This is literally the number one biggest argument in the entire Supreme Court term, I think, actually. This case, U.S. versus Scrimeti, comes out of the great state of Tennessee. Tennessee passed a law, Senate Bill 1, which basically says that you are not allowed to use puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, or any of that crap when it comes to kiddie chemical castration, genital mutilation, basically what the libs insufferably refer to as quote-unquote gender-affirming care. You're not allowed to do this when it comes to minors under the age of 18. And ludicrously, the actual plaintiff, the one suing on behalf of the transgender people in Tennessee, it's actually the United States government. It's literally the Biden DOJ, Merrick Garland, and their Solicitor General, Liz Prelogar, who swooped in. That's why this case was styled U.S. Scrimeti. So that's kind of my first observation, Jesse, is that because this is coming from the Department of Justice, the Trump DOJ can try to end this when they get into power. It's going to be a fight over whether or not it's actually withdrawn because they will have already heard oral argument. But basically, let the justices sort that out. At a bare minimum, you have to try to remove the case. So that's a necessary order for the Trump DOJ on January 20th. As far as how the actual oral argument went, I'm pretty confident that Tennessee is going to win. I would be shocked, like truly shocked, if Tennessee were to lose this case and if they were to find that this very logical common sense law is actually not allowed by the 14th Amendment, which is their truly absurd constitutional argument that they are making. They literally are saying that the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment does not allow Tennessee to protect vulnerable children from the predations of big pharma and gender ideology and all of that there. But if I'm just looking at how the oral argument actually went, it seems like Chief Justice John Roberts, he's one of the swing votes, of course, seems like he's on Tennessee's side. I think that the other right of center justices, namely Amy Coney Barrett, Brett Kavanaugh, and Neil Gorsuch, I think they're probably all going to end up on the correct side as well. Gorsuch is a bit of a question mark because he was eerily silent at oral argument, and he did give us the whopper of the case known as Bostock in 2020, which was a pro-transgender case. That was a big surprise from Gorsuch being a Trump nominee. But I do think that Tennessee is going to prevail here. And you know, Jesse, I guess the final thing I'll say is that part of what we saw at this oral argument, it really just accentuates and underscores to me why the Democrats and the left are just in such a terrible state in this country. The Democrats just got crushed in a presidential election. They lost all seven major swing states. And the reason why they lost is because you idiots have Supreme Court justices like Ketanji Brown Jackson, the dim-witted Biden nominee, who literally, Jesse, earlier today was asking whether or not Tennessee's ban on kiddie chemical castration is in any way similar or analogous to the bans on interracial marriage that existed before the 1960s. I mean, what a loony tune.
Let me pause you there, Josh, because I actually have that audio so everyone can hear exactly what you're talking about. This is what happens when you DEI hire someone on to SCOTUS.
The question was whether it was discriminatory because it applied to both races and it wasn't, you know, necessarily invidious or whatever. But, you know, as I read the statute here, the case here, You know, the court starts off by saying that Virginia is now one of 16 states which prohibit and punish marriages on the basis of racial classifications. And when you look at the structure of that law, it looks in terms of, you can't do something that is inconsistent with your own characteristics. It's sort of the same thing. So it's interesting to me that we now have this different argument, and I wonder whether Virginia could have gotten away with what they did here by just making a classification argument the way that Tennessee is in this case.
Yeah, Josh, we need to now ask a question we have to ask often on this show. In fact, I should put something on the soundboard. Is she stupid or just evil?
I think she's not a smart individual. I mean, I actually think that Sonia Sotomayor and Ketanji Brown Jackson are just dumb. Now, I don't say that all liberals are dumb. Elena Kagan, I disagree with her a lot, but she's definitely not dumb. She's actually a very good writer. But Ketanji Brown Jackson, Jesse, I don't think she's operating at a particularly high IQ level, at least relative to her other Supreme Court justices. I mean, she actually made a glaring error in her egregious dissent in the affirmative action case. This is the case about a year and a half ago, Students for Fair Admission versus Harvard and UNC Chapel Hill. And this is the case that basically got rid of affirmative action in university admissions programs there. And Ketanji Brown Jackson had just this disgusting dissent, basically saying that the Constitution doesn't ban racism, but actually requires racism if that racism favors, you know, blacks, Hispanics, and so forth, while discriminating against whites and Jews and Asians and whatnot there. And she actually made a glaring error here where she just got a very simple citation wrong. She gave the wrong numbers in a footnote, and then she very embarrassingly had to go back after the case was already published and basically do a mea culpa, like a my bad, I actually got the data wrong. That is seriously embarrassing, not something that you see every day. As a former federal law clerk, I can tell you that's a serious faux pas. But to your point, Jesse, this is what happens when you select a U.S. Supreme Court justice not based how good of a lawyer you are or your worldview or your approach to constitutional interpretation. This is what happens when you do, as Joe Biden did in 2022, you pick a justice specifically because she is a black woman, notwithstanding the fact that black women comprise 2% of the national lawyer pool. They're literally 2%, but apparently when you limit your search to a tiny portion of the lawyer profession demographic, I guess this is what you get. It's just awful. It's just so dumb.
Hey, Josh, I want you to listen to something here. I don't know if this is coming through at all. Do you hear that clicking? That is a brand new pen that I bought, and it writes so well, and it's got the perfect weight, and it has the little click thing on there. Do you have any kind of pens that you're particularly proud of? Because this one is top-notch, my friend, top-notch.
You know, Jesse, I have to tell you, I've actually been remarkably consistent on this since, I kid you not, I was probably 9 or 10 years old. I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fan of, it's not a click pen, it's like the roller pen. It's the Pilot. It's the Pilot Precise Rolling Ball Pen. I have a bunch on my desk right now. Beautiful blue ink. I'm a huge fan of this pen, Jesse. But I have to tell you, man, I don't really use pens very often anymore. Do you find yourself writing a lot?
Well, no, Josh, but now I think I will, now that I have a high-end pen. When you buy a Lamborghini, you take it for a drive. When you have a pen like I do, you do a lot of writing. I may pen a letter tonight. I might write a letter to you. You never know.
I would very much look forward to that, my friend. I would welcome that correspondence.
Josh, before I get off here and pen my letter, I need to ask you if you will wait for maybe, do you have another 5-10 minutes? Because I didn't even get to Cash Patel and this kind of stuff, and I have other things I want to get to with you. I should have asked you beforehand. Can you wait?
Sure.
Okay, we will wait. I am going to get off here and begin penning my letter, dearest Josh. After I get back, we'll get to Cash Patel and stuff. Hang on. It is the Jesse Kelly Show, back with Josh Hammer, host of America on Trial. Just got us boned up on what happened with the Supreme Court today. Now I really want to shift gears and start talking some deep state Cash Patel stuff. Okay, Josh, we found out last night that he was targeted by the Iranians. I don't believe that, but even still, there's a lot of opposition to Cash Patel. Tell us about this person. You know him.
Yeah, I do know Cash Patel a little bit. We actually, at one point, guest co-hosted Steve Bannon's War Room while Steve was tragically in the Danbury, Connecticut jail there for a few months. So Cash Patel quite literally wrote the book on the Russia collusion delusion. I mean, he has been the epicenter of investigations into Crossfire Hurricane, and the fact that the FBI was used into a partisan tool of the Hillary Clinton campaign to literally spy on Carter Page and George Papadopoulos, and how there were people like Lisa Page and Peter Strzok there inside the FBI who were talking about using the FBI as a, quote, fail-safe. Cash Patel has been on top of that for a very long time. He's someone who has previously worked in national security circles and in intelligence community positions for the Trump administration. He's actually someone who even has bipartisan bona fides. He actually was a prosecutor for the DOJ going back to the Obama administration, actually, there. So even though he is definitely a strong, high-powered Trump loyalist, I mean, the guy even has bipartisan bona fides, frankly, there. The reason, Jesse, that liberals are up in arms over this one is because Cash Patel is the kind of guy who will go in there and will actually turn the FBI upside down. Now, if you are me, Josh Hammer, or if you are you, Jesse Kelly, you probably hear that and you're like, oh my God, like, that sounds awesome. But if you're a company man, if you're the kind of guy who works in the deep state, if you're the kind of guy who works in the bureaucracy, if you know where your bread is buttered, so to speak, when it comes to the military industrial complex and all that, then you're necessarily going to be opposed to Cash Patel because he is a disruptive force. But the FBI is the belly of the belly of the beast. I mean, it is the epicenter of all epicenters. Like when we speak of the deep state, to me, the FBI is literally the agency that comes exactly to mind. Going back again to Crossfire Hurricane, but also the way that the FBI acted when it came to the 2020 election with the Hunter Biden laptop and the Gretchen Whitmer fake kidnapping plot to January 6, 2021. The FBI's public perception is at an all-time low in modern polling. And that's because they have just repeatedly clowned themselves over and over and over again. So we actually really do need to turn this thing upside down. And I guess the final thing that I'll say about Cash Patel, Jesse, one of my favorite quotes is from a guy named H.L. Mencken. He was a well-known newspaper columnist maybe about 100 years ago, early 20th century guy. And he said here, I'm paraphrasing, but he said that democracy is the theory that the average man knows what he wants. And then when he votes for it, he deserves to get it good and hard. And translated to our modern times here after the 2024 election, the average person wants MAGA. They want to clean the swamp. And if you want to drain the swamp there, Cash Patel's your guy.
Josh, how deep is it? And I say that because I'm well aware that the deep state, the system, whatever you want to call it, it is going to work very hard to protect itself. And I know we have these reformers coming, Lord willing, if they can get through confirmation. But how much good can they do? Can they drain it? Can they drain most of it? A little of it? What is realistic? I don't want to get my hopes up or the hopes up of anybody listening right now. What's realistic?
Well, I don't want to falsely get anyone's hopes up either, to be honest with you. Look, Jesse, this was one of the problems with the Trump administration the first time around, is that he generally was not successful at doing this. I mean, this was kind of his whole 2016 message as well. And to be clear, a lot of his promises in 2016 were absolutely kept. I'm not trying to take anything away from the man. But when it comes to the bread and butter work of gutting the federal bureaucracy of subversive malcontents, he generally was less than fully successful. This is one of the reasons why, unlike many other lawyers, why I was very sympathetic to the Matt Gaetz attorney general pick. Would I have picked Matt Gaetz? Probably not. Probably not the exact guy I would have picked. But if you're trying to actually get rid of the rot in the DOJ, which is the belly of the beast here, the FBI is part of the DOJ, then that's the kind of guy that you want in there. So from that perspective, Cash Patel is hopefully the kind of guy that actually can get in there. And frankly, just his mere presence will probably cause a lot of low-level agents to just immediately resign there while hopefully encouraging new young recruits who actually have a pro-America patriotic worldview to get them to go out and come join the fray and join the FBI. That's what you hope for, certainly in a situation like this. But it's really going to have to come largely from Donald Trump himself. There's only so much that people like Cash Patel, Pam Bondi, DOJ, these others can do. The president really does set the tone. And it's bread and butter constitutional law that the president of the United States, because he has the quote-unquote executive power under Article 2 of the Constitution, he has the ability to make any hiring or firing decision he wants, period, full stop, end of story. There are some Supreme Court cases from 70, 80, 90 years ago that purport to limit his authority to do that. Those cases are wrongly decided, and given the court's current composition, those cases would be overturned. So Donald Trump really needs to go in there, and he really should set the tone right away. And I'm hopeful that he will do that. But like you, my expectations are somewhat mixed, I would say.
Josh, I've only got a couple minutes left here. Is Donald Trump going to be able, I realize I'm asking you to predict retirements and things like that, so I get that ahead of time. Is he going to be able to replace any of these Supreme Court justices, either ones of ours that are aging out, you know, the Clarence Thomases, the Alitos, or Lord willing, obviously in the perfect world, he's replacing theirs so we can have even more of an unbalance on the court in our favor?
Well, that is an ideal situation, obviously, and that's what happened to Ruth Bader Ginsburg when she passed away and then Amy Coney Barrett joined the court there in 2020. So you never know what could happen like that. I mean, someone could get a heart attack, someone could have a family medical emergency. You just never know there. As far as the right of center justices who are most likely to retire, I do think that Sam Alito is more likely than not to retire, either this year or the year after that. Probably before the 2026 midterms, given the 53-47 edge that Republicans have in the U.S. Senate. It makes sense that you would want to retire when you are assured that the president and Senate can get you an ideologically like-minded successor there. So I predict that Alito is more likely than not to resign. Clarence Thomas is a genuine toss-up. I do not know one way or the other. If I truly, truly, truly had to make a guess, I would predict that, yes, he is more likely than not to resign over the next 2 years there, but I could truly see him going either way. Clarence Thomas, of course, Jesse, is, in my opinion, the nation's single greatest living American, so who the heck am I to tell him that he should retire? He can do whatever the heck he darn wants to do. But I do think that there was a very real chance for one or possibly even two retirements, probably even before the 2026 midterms, actually.
Gosh, I love Clarence Thomas. I bet he has a sweet pen. He is Josh Hammer, host of America on Trial. Thank you, my friend. As always, that was awesome.
Jesse, I look forward to that letter.
Look, it's more than just being able to click your pen, right? It's more than just having that smooth as silk writing. Honestly, I'm writing right now and you can't even tell. As I'm talking to you on the air, I'm also writing. This kind of pen allows you to do both because it's just silky smooth. It's more than that, though. It's the weight. It can't be too light. That feels cheap. It can't be too heavy. I'm not bodybuilding here. I'm writing things down. When you have a pen that's perfectly balanced, it puts you in a whole different category, and that's what I have, and Chris doesn't, and you should see how jealous he is. Now, they're saying the Iranians hacked Kash Patel. Okay, let's discuss what's really happening here next.
This is an iHeart podcast.